James Mandel.
Let's give another hand of praise for Melinda. You know, we got to get her passing brochures out, and pamphlets, so that we can find out why we love our church, right? Amen. You know, I want to first thank the Lord for the encouragement that he has done in my life, how he encouraged me, and also to be bold enough to say yes. And I want to appreciate the pastors in this place and how God has gave them the boldness to say yes. I believe we're ready for a transition. Get ready. It's very interesting how Melinda said that, you know, how God's voice moves and sparks in us and instructs us. And when we're obedient and we move in him, we begin to start seeing his power and his glory and his love and his grace. And so I'm waiting to make sure that we're ready to go online. This message is live, and it is going around the world. And there are many people, believe it or not. You look around and you see a few maybe here, and I want to encourage more to come out, because there's something different when you come out. You get those words spoken over you, or those prophetic words that are, you have something?
I got something.
Okay, you want to share?
Yeah.
Okay, come here, share. Right after Tim.
Real quick, just to follow along with what Melinda said, I had a stack of prayer cross that you gave me. You said, here, just take them.
I got some ready right there.
Well, I don't know about that, but
I got them cooking.
So, you know, I just took them and I put them on my my dresser, and they were sitting there for a while. And I just got a new job, and about 2 weeks ago, something happened to a couple of the employees. One guy, his sister, tried to commit suicide, and another woman, her daughter, had a stroke. She's in, like, you know, her late 30s. I felt compelled to give out these prayer cloths for healing.
Amen.
And, you know, when Melinda talks about God speaking to you, I just felt like this urge somehow. This wasn't really a voice. It was an urge. And then the events that followed from me going home and getting them at lunchtime to pick them up, I actually forgot them coming back. So I turned around on Springdale Road and went back. Well, when I got back to work, the two people that I needed to give them to were standing together right next to my desk. And I knew right away that I was supposed to do that. You know, to follow along with, you know, I told them about the story about the healing cloths. There's an angel assigned to each one. And then I have to just let it go. It's not up to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to see them healed.
Sure.
You know, and one guy actually really appreciated it. He started looking up. I said, I have a place for you. If you want to know more, I have a place for you. So when we talk about planting seeds, it's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're planting them. We're not supposed to water it. We're not supposed to feed it. That's up to God. And if it grows, it's up to him. Mm-hmm. So that's just to follow along with what Melinda said.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for John and his testimony. Come on, Ken.
The worship was so good this morning, I just didn't know how to break into it. But I felt like I had a word, and I got this opportunity to share it. And even the scripture on the Nuggets. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe that God was saying today to me to tell you, he knows the plans he has for you. Plans for a future and a hope, and not for destruction. This whole world screams that it'll never work. Where's your God? You're in the midst of circumstances that you can't control, and you don't know how to get out of them. Well, the 23rd Psalm says that the Lord prepares a table for you before your enemies. Sit down, relax, be at peace and know that your God is fighting your battles and will bring home the victory so that he has the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. James, we're ready. All right, got thumbs up. First of all, I want to thank my Lord for what he has done in my life. And if you're here and those that are listening, this word is more than likely for you. I've been speaking several series, and if you follow the ministry, you'll see that it kind of all corresponds and lines up and begins to build. I believe God is calling a house to build in holiness so that he can dwell with us. God can't dwell with any individual. You know, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, he even says, if you call upon my name, humble yourself, you know, I'll come into your midst, I'll heal your land, so forth and so forth. You know, I want the world to know who our God is. I want them to know my God. There are many gods out there, and I share this a lot. There's so many different religions. Most people are just like, well, which one's right? Me personally, before my life has been changed, and then it has been changed divinely, I truly believe everybody is right, and they have a little piece of everything. But no one really has the full picture, the full substance. I want to say God has given us the full picture, the full substance here. And to understand the truth and be able to have that relationship with God and know that your relationship with him is tangible is probably one of the greatest gifts of life we can actually offer ourselves. How would you like to have a doctrine, I guess you can call it, a teaching, an education of God, and you're not even touching the heavens? You're trying so hard to have a relationship with God, but you're not even coming close to the clouds. How many of us understand where I'm coming from? You're praying with your heart, and you're desiring so much, but you're not even reaching close to where he's at, the heavens. See, I want the world to understand that, yes, God dwells in your heart. He dwells inside. There's rhema in you. There's an anointing in you. But he also exists outside of you too. There's a heavenly host and a glory that is outside of you too. And when you pray, all things are from him, through him, and to him. And when you pray, you want to reach not only within, but you want to also reach out. And the more I meditate on him and the more that he downloads what he has given me already 15 years ago to bring a greater understanding, is holiness has a lot to do with getting into his presence and being able to interact with God and allow God to work on your behalf. Now we have a life, and we're all trying to live that life. We've been created with something to live for. And we all want it. Amen? I mean, who doesn't want their life? Who doesn't want it? Who doesn't want the plans and the purpose that God has for you? Right? Who doesn't want those things that are trying to steal and take away be defeated? We all want this. And to be able to put yourself in a situation where you put your heart, like my heart cries out for those that are deceived. My heart cries out for those that have every good intentions. I've met somebody who is dearly close to me, just, was it yesterday? Frank and his wife. Was it yesterday? 2 days ago? I was out, you know, working in another area, and this couple drove by, and I saw her head shaved. And I said, oh, you donated your hair to a good cause? You know, you shaved your head. You must have donated your hair to a, you know, cancer or good cause or what have. She said, no, I didn't shave it. I lost it through chemo. I said, oh, that's a shame. This person's been invited here many times, and the door was open for them to come and just always was shut for some reason. No, that's okay, you know. And then I was like, oh, that's a shame. When, how long has this been? And then the other person, her husband, said, yeah, she got cancer, breast cancer. Not only did she lose her hair through chemo, but she lost both her breasts. And now she doesn't have any breasts. And I said to myself, oh, I'm so sorry to hear. And I know deep in my heart that that wasn't the will of God in her life. I know it wasn't. And in my heart, there has to be a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit to heal this land. The nugget. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. See, there's a place that my God brings us to, a place of humility. If my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, we all are starting to have an understanding of what wickedness is. And, you know, wickedness is, you know, I want to just put it as self-centeredness. And you'll hear my message shortly. And it says, and then I will hear. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven. Didn't I tell you that there's a place out there where he hears? Even though God dwells inside of us, there's a place out there where he hears. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. There's too much going on around us. Our loved ones. How many of us have loved ones who are perishing with illness, with sickness, with diseases, with addictions, with just watching our loved ones deteriorate and fall apart? When I heard this, and it was right in front of me, I just saw her only about 3 months ago, and she had a full head of hair. I'm talking about thick, brown, long hair. And I thought she shaved her head to give the hair to a good cause. You know how some people shave their heads? And when for them to come back and say, no, I'm sorry, I lost it through chemo because I have breast cancer. And not only did I lose it, but I lost both breasts. Does something to you when you know the truth, and then yet you see people suffering and they're perishing because of forces of darkness. That's what I want to say. It's sad. We can bring all the medical stuff and bring, you know, great. I look at the medical answers is just because the spirit is just a little bit deeper than the medical. They want to find scientific proof of things. How many people have ever saw this Oriental scientist, I guess, I don't know his name, but he did a study on water. And I bring this up a lot because it's an incredible discovery. But you speak to water in a loving way, and it crystallizes in a beautiful way. And when you speak to the water in a very nasty, mean, abrupt way, it scatters and breaks apart and is distorted. How many people have saw that in study? I truly believe that we are no different than that water, because our bodies are made up of 99% or 95% water or whatever. So the majority of us is made up of water. It's important to understand sin. It's important to understand holiness. And my message today, and I'm going to start a series on it, but it's about love. And there's two types of love. There's a love in the world, and then there's a love in the heavens. We don't know the love in the heavens. We only know the love in the world. And the love in the world is steered with selfishness. It's all self-centered. We grow. We grow to the love that is heavenly, out of the world. You know, when Jesus says, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world, he was describing the love that he has within him. And when we can come out of the world, we actually transform or transfer into a heavenly love. This is so important in order for us to be changed, to be transformed, to understand love. And the definition of love is probably one of the greatest gifts that any of us can receive, any of us. There are a lot of people out there that don't know God, yet they're transformed in this image of him. Just because, I want to call it maturity. Self-love allows you to mature to a certain level in your life. And then maturity stops. And that person might be 50, 60 years old, but still immature. And the reason why they're still immature is because of love. There's a point in our lives as we grow naturally. This is why it's important to understand love. As a child, you think a certain way, and you grow a certain way. And then you reach a certain point in life, and if you don't understand love, you never grow up. You always stay immature. Now, maturity and immaturity is a very important thing in order for us to live. Because when you grow older and you mature, you're able to handle and think differently. Amen? Amen? You're able to understand. Wisdom seems to grow on you. You make good decisions. When you're immature, what are your reactions? Emotional. Very emotional. Can't handle anything. Very disordered. Thinking is distorted. Always has this accusation. Never comes to a place of trust. Easily offended. Just totally out of control. And if you look at it, if you analyze the person, 99.9%, it's because it's all about them. They've never reached maturity. It's always self-centered. And they haven't understood God. They never understood faith. They never understood this divine heavenly love. I'm here today to share with the world how it is important to understand this love. And this love will bring you to God. This love is God. It'll be a part of you. It will give you wisdom. It'll give you strength. It'll give you the things that you need to work on your behalf so that you can prosper and grow and have favor in your life. We need all this love. I look at myself and I use myself as an example, and every message that comes through this ministry is a rhema word directly from God. You're here because you're hearing a rhema word from God. And somehow, somewhere, we needed to hear this message of love today. Those that are listening around the world, they needed to hear this message of love because they're fighting. Things are happening in their life and they don't understand why these battles are going on. And 99.9%, they're not manifesting this love that I want to share with us today. This is going to be a message and it might go on for several weeks because of the depth of the importance of understanding love. I have some notes here that I want to read. And one, it's starting off with worldly love. And it says here, it says, worldly love is always about self. Worldly love is always self-focused, self-centered. People often give the reason why they love someone because of the way he or she makes them feel. This is a worldly love because it's about self. This is a dangerous love. I know people who I'm dearly close to, and you know, and I have them in my life, and there's nothing I can do about it. I personally thought it was, they just needed time to grow up. Then as I began to understand love, I said to myself, they just have this self-centeredness love about themselves, and it's hindering them from growing up. It's holding them back from maturing. I began to start having these revelation knowledge of how important it is to sacrifice ourselves and to give ourselves to others and to serve unconditionally and to forgive, so that we can grow in this love that is divine, that will bring us to a place of maturity. And when you're in a place of maturity, life just seems a little bit more calmer. Life seems to be that everything's going to be okay, and there's always tomorrow. And it's not like a fire or a panic or, you know, this dramatic drama of some sort or another. Has any one of us here experienced this radical drama where, you know, even if something's said, it causes a panic or an uprising or just an undisturbing feeling inside, and arguments begin to start, fights begin to start. Somehow or another, they have to defend each other and, you know, their point of view and this point of view and why this is right and why this is wrong. And it just widespreads and then brings division. Then next minute you know, you're breaking up. You're no longer friends. It's just arguments after arguments. Until godly love comes in. And then all of a sudden forgiveness comes. You know, it's not a big deal. Our friendship means more. Let's come together. Let's forgive one another. Let's just drop it. Everything's okay. And then godly love heals and restores and brings back. We need this. We need this love. I got some other things here to read. It says, God is love and is never about self. It is always about the other person. What is in their best interest, how you can best serve them, and what you can do for them. God's love always focused on giving and serving, never on getting. It is a selfless love motivated by a deep commitment to others, which means that it always seeks the best welfare of others. That is in contrast to of worldly love, a diversiveness of this worldly love. Godly love builds connections and deep relationships with others because of its generous. Characteristics, world versus godly love. The world's love, controlling and manipulative, versus yielding and serving. A worldly love hates suffering, and a godly love is long-suffering. A worldly love divides and separates. A godly love unifies and builds. A worldly love is based on feelings, and a godly love is based on commitment. A worldly love is quickly angered versus a godly love is peaceful. A worldly love is easily frustrated, where a godly love is patience. A worldly love is unforgiving and resentful and bitter, where a godly love is forgiving. I want us to take a moment just in our own life and look and see, what are we manifesting? Are we slow to be patient, or are we quick to get uptight? Are we quick to lose our temper and fly off the handle, or are we, calm? How are we handling ourselves? I say this because I know that we want to reach the heavens with our prayers. We want to touch heaven. I believe revival is coming. I truly believe that God is working on the hearts of people. He's pouring out his spirit as we speak. You're going to see a big change in our area. I truly believe this. But at the same time, are you ready for revival? Are you ready for God to open up those doors in your lives that he wants to open up and then sustain keeping it? I truly believe that there are doors that are opening up. Those that are here, there are new doors opening up in your life. And these new doors that are opening up in your life require change. And this change is directed towards this love that I'm talking about, the heavenly love. And if we don't change towards this heavenly love, the door is going to close and you're going to lose this transformation that is happening in your life. There is a growth that is happening that requires maturity. And if we don't begin to handle ourselves mature, it's going to close. You're going to hit a lead ceiling. And your prayers will not be answered. This is a prophetic word right now. How many of us here, now I know that there are people around the world listening, and I'm sure that there's a lot out there that are going to answer this question. And not only that, this tape is going to be handed to somebody somewhere down the road, whether a month or a year, and they're going to hear this rhema word to them. But how many here today have a new door opening up in their life right now? You're not here by accident. How many are entering into a new relationship, a new business, a new something? You need this love. You need to hear what I'm saying. How many people are looking for a new change in their life? With that, God knows it, and He's opening up a door for you. And without this divine level of love and understanding of this love, these doors will shut. Because of the fact that the doors that God is opening up for you requires maturity. Someone that is going to be slow to speak, you know, quick to listen. Someone that isn't going to fly off the handle. Someone who's going to have patience, long-suffering, not self-centered, not self-willed, looking out for the person's best interest, their welfare, not yours. Being kind and considerate, and thoughtful, gentle, kind. There's a verse here about love and the greatest gift. And we've heard this many, many times. I'm sorry to, there's something falling on me right now. I'm getting a little drunk. I don't know what's happening. Maybe the gift of love is falling right now for you. I hope it's falling on me. I hope God is saying, well done, my faithful servant, here it is. Listen, my salvation is for myself. You know, I preach for myself. I speak for myself. The rhema word that I come in this way, this place, is for myself. Who God sends here, that's His problem, not mine. I will still declare and stand here for myself, not for you. And I thank God for His presence and for His anointing. It says, the greatest gift, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live my life as a mess, as a sounding, clanging cymbal. How do you want to be viewed? When you walk into the presence of others, do you want to be looked upon as a mess? Or do you want to be looked upon as someone with wisdom? Someone that has this kindness about them. Someone that can be trusted. Someone that they know without a shadow of a doubt that they're looking out for their best interest. It says here, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That's impacting if you really think about it. You know, I'm going to stop for a moment because we're all good people. There's not anyone in this room, and there's not anyone that's not listening that isn't a good person. And yes, they love sincere. They may bring a lot of healing in people's lives, good prophetic words into people's lives, though that they have tongues of angels and they have all these good characteristics about themselves. You might even have some people to say, listen, I trust you with everything. Don't think we have arrived to this rhema word. Don't think that we have arrived to this rhema word. If you're hearing me, then there must be more that God is calling for us to come to. We're all good. We all have a level of love. We all, but I'm talking about the things that God wants to do in your life that are greater and bigger beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. But it requires this love, this anointing of love, in order for you to sustain and hold on to what God is about to give you. How would you like to have your hopes and dreams given to you and then shortly after that, taken away? Thrown out, kicked out, fired, just no longer, I'm sorry, because you have no power or authority over it. Contracts canceled. Favor just dropped for no reason at all. How about separation or divorce? How about just losing the respect or honor from your children? It goes on and on and on. I hope you're hungry to dig deeper for this love that I'm talking about, because it's not by accident. I want to see God open up these doors in your life. I want to see God bring love and those things that are empty inside of us fulfilled. I want to see your career explode beyond measure rather than the door shut. I want to see all the desires that you have dreamed for, even though you have fulfilled great things, there are more that are in store for you, that are bigger and greater than you can comprehend or even imagine. I thank God for the two of you. I thank God for all that are together as a couple, as one, here today. I know there's a word for the two of you, and I'm so grateful that you came today, and you're here. And Jim's here. And what did I say? When I see the three of you here at once, there's going to be an anointing that's going to drop on your lives, that are going to take you to even greater levels than you ever even hoped or dreamed of. I speak this under the anointing of God. I don't reason and I don't question, nor do I even care what God is going to do. I just want to be obedient to give and impart and release whatever He has for you. It says here, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not loved, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but in rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This love that I'm talking about, I hope and pray that the words today resonate in your heart and desire for these great doors to open up in your life. How many of us here alone just want those doors opened up? God's going to use you. We haven't figured it out yet, because it's too big. We can't comprehend. We have a slight version of it. We have a slight vision of it. We have a little inclination of what it is. That's how He leads us. Has anyone been involved in something that they were building and they had a concept of it, and as they got into it, things changed that you didn't see before. This is what I'm talking about. Things are changing, and it requires a power and a glory. It's requiring spiritual insight, and you need to conduct yourself and handle yourself in a way that will manifest where it will draw. God says, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto you. Amen. What are you lifting up? Love. God is love. The revelation of this love will seal your life. You will be filled. A lot of us are empty, and we don't even know why. The more we mature, I'm going to tell you right now, love has to grow with maturity. And as we mature, we need more love. If not, we become empty. And when we become empty, all of a sudden, scientific words say you're depressed. It has nothing to do about being depressed. It has everything to do about being filled. When you're filled with this love supernaturally, you're not depressed. You're not so-called bored or what have you. Now, as far as children are concerned, yes, there's a portion of love that needs to manifest in their lives. They need to serve more. If there's a child that doesn't help out or doesn't, you know, willingly serve, I'm going to tell you right now, that child's going to enter into a form of depression. And that depression is not depression. That depression is a lack of divine, godly love. There's too much self in them. And if they continue to grow that way, it's our job. It's our job as parents, as guardians, to teach our children how to serve. Listen, you can do a lot of things on your own, and you don't need any help. But the best thing you can do is grab your child and say, here, give me a hand. Hold this. Do this. Get them involved. And you'll watch their life change. If they're not involved in your life, they're going deeper and deeper and deeper. Listen, we can do everything on our own. We don't need them. We can hire help. But we have to get our children involved in our lives to help them grow into a godly love. When you can take self out of them, you're transforming them. If I can have every head bowed for a moment. I'll continue this message next week and bring us into a more of a place of this love, and hopefully, if the Lord wills, there may even be an impartation of love. But Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you have done today and planted the seeds and began to give us an understanding. And if those doors are trying to open and they seem to be very difficult, Lord, let us look at this anointing of love, the heaven love. Allow us to change the way we're thinking and bring us into a place of being self-controlled. Teach us. Open up our eyes. Don't let us be short-sighted even to blindness. But allow us to see. Don't let those birds of the air snatch away the word that was given to us today, but allow us to understand this love. Let us grow together. Lord, I ask if there are any relationships that are here today and those that are listening, let this love cover a multitude of sin in their lives. If there's any relationship, friendship, marriages, any type of family relationship, I ask and pray that you will begin to heal their land as we open our heart to you. Deliver them. Deliver us. And bring unity so that we can see you. I pray, amen and amen. Before we end the service, I want to speak over some individuals, and I want to say those that have to leave, they can leave.